Man, he's talking about their livelihood, their food, their clothing, everything. He said, though there's none in there, what are we going to do? Oh, we're going to gripe and complain. Oh, we're gonna get fearful and afraid. Oh, we're gonna draw back. We're not gonna worship God anymore because I'm feeling so sorry for myself. No, notice what he says. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will exult in the victorious God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. Listen to this. I like the way the Amplified says, my personal bravery. You know when you got to be brave? When you're in a fight. Isn't that true? When somebody over there is shooting at somebody over here, that's when I got to be brave. When somebody over there is attacking somebody over here, hey man, you point to yourself, that's when I got to be brave, isn't it? He said, the Lord God's going to be my bravery. Listen, if you will learn in every circumstance of your life to rejoice in the Lord your God as the one who is your victory, then you know what you're going to find? That courage is going to rise up on the inside of you. You can stare, look down those circumstances. You can look at that devil, that sickness, that problem, whatever it is, and say, the Lord God is my victory. Yeah. Be like Rocky in one of those, I don't know, Rocky 1 or 6 or whatever it was, where he looked at the guy and he said, is that all you got? Is that all you got? Is that all you got, devil? Is that all you got? Hallelujah. You're in trouble. I almost feel sorry for you. You're in trouble if that's all you got. The Lord God is my strength, my personal bravery, and my invincible army. Don't you like the way I read my invincible army? Woo! What about y'all, but I'm having a good time. Listen to this. The Lord, I'm going to read this again. It's so good. The Lord God is my strength, my personal bravery, and my invincible army. Woo! I have to hold my mule here. I'm about to shout. He makes my feet like hinds feet. That's like a deer. But it's not just one of these woodland deers. It's one of these deers, these mountain goat type deers. You ever seen those bighorn sheep or something like that? Man, I saw a program one time where they were on a close-up, you know, showing him walk, and then they panned out, and I went, because, I mean, he was like almost on a sheer cliff, thousands of feet up, just hipping, hopping along. Hallelujah. You may feel like you're in a narrow place, but God's going to give you deer's feet. You're sure-footed. He makes me to walk, not to stand still in terror, but to walk and make spiritual progress upon my high places in times of trouble, suffering, or responsibility, whatever it is. Amen? Woo! This is the Lord your God. And this morning, as we prepare to give our tithes and offerings, maybe you feel like you're in a narrow place with your finances. Maybe you feel like the circumstances of life, the enemy has come against you in that area. But I want to tell you something. Listen, you get your eyes off of your pocketbook, off of your checkbook, off of your circumstance, and you remember who you belong to. You remember the Lord your God, because not only is that true for Elder and Sabrina, but He's also the God who gives you the power to obtain wealth. He gives you the ability to obtain wealth, to establish His covenant in the earth. And this morning as we give, God says, take a portion and bring it to me. Now, I'm speaking for the Lord. Bring it to Him. Bring it to Him. And we bring a portion to Him. And you know what? I think this morning what we're going to do, I'm going to let everybody get your offering ready. And then we're going to speak this over our finances and over our giving this morning. I'm going to read this and we're going to make it a declaration of faith over our finances. How many of you could use more? Hallelujah. I'm in the right place.
I'll give you just a minute. Hallelujah. Are we ready here? I'm going to speak it over. If you're giving this morning, you hold your offering. Would you repeat this after me as a confession over your offering and over all your finances, the portion you're giving and the portion that you're keeping. The Lord God is my strength.
The Lord God is my strength.
My personal bravery.
And
my invincible armor.
He
makes my feet like deer's feet. And
He will make me to walk,
not stand still in terror,
but
to walk
and make spiritual progress
in 2012.
I declare
I am blessed.
I'm blessed beyond the curse.
God's blessing
is upon me.
And whatever
I put my hand to do
in
2012,
He causes
it to prosper.
I am
blessed.
In
Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's give.
Hallelujah.
Thank you for your giving.
God bless you.
How many want just to hear
from the Word here for
just a few minutes? Give
me a few minutes
for the Word.
Hallelujah.
We're
not pumpkin
Christians, are we? We
don't turn into pumpkins
at noon.
Hallelujah.
That
either.
Hallelujah.
Turn to
John 15.
Just take
just a few minutes.
I won't keep you long,
but I want to
share with you
Word
God gave me for
you. I want to
help you, bless you.
And of course
we know this, the
Word of God is what
builds us up, isn't
it? And gives
us an inheritance
with all the
saints in light.
Hallelujah.
And God
wants us to have
all He's
provided for us.
Thank
God.
Aren't you glad?
I'm so
glad that in
God there's always more.
That
it doesn't have to get
routine and
mundane and stale
and boring
and... You know, you
say, you just described my
Christian walk.
Well, then
you need
a fresh touch.
You should have come up here
this morning if you didn't
already.
You need a
fresh outlook
and a fresh
insight.
John 15,
I want to talk
about abiding.
Abiding
in 2012.
Abiding
in Him.
John 15,
verse 1,
I am the true vine.
I'm reading from the
Amplified.
My Father
is the vine dresser.
Any branch in
me that does not bear
fruit...
That stops bearing,
He cuts away,
trims off,
takes away,
and He
cleanses and
repeatedly prunes
every branch
that continues to
bear fruit,
to make it
bear more
and richer and
more excellent
fruit.
Isn't that what you
want? That's what I want. I like the way that says that. I want to bear more, richer, and more excellent fruit in 2012 because He's worthy of it. You are cleansed and pruned already because of the Word which I have given you, the teachings I have discussed with you. Dwell in me, I will dwell in you. Live in me, and I will live in you. Just as no branch can bear fruit of itself without abiding and vitally united to the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever lives in me and I in him bears much fruit, abundant fruit. However, apart from me, cut off from vital union with me, you can do nothing. If a person does not dwell in me, he is thrown out like a broken off branch and withers. Such branches are gathered up and thrown into the fire, and they are burned. If you live in me, abide vitally united to me, and my words remain in you and continue to live in your hearts, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. That word abide or dwell there, that literally means to be vitally connected to Jesus, just as a branch is vitally connected to a vine. You ever seen grapes, you know, growing on the vine? Out in the natural, or maybe some other type of produce. You know, the fruit grows on the branch, but the branch draws its life from the vine, does it not? And so unless we are vitally connected to, ongoing, connected and joined to the vine, which is the life of Jesus, unless we are connected to that, we will not bear fruit. Amen. We will not bear fruit. So branches that are part, we want to produce fruit, don't we? I want to produce fruit in my life. I'm sure that you want to. There are three types of fruit that I want to just mention real quickly here this morning before we dismiss. Three types of fruit that I look at from the Scriptures. The first is what I call character fruit of transformation. Turn over to Galatians 5. He says, if we're abiding in Him, we're going to bring forth this fruit. So if we're not bringing forth this fruit, maybe, according to Jesus, no maybe to it, we're not abiding in Him, are we? So the first area of fruit is what I call the character fruit of transformation. God wants us to be transformed. And we have learned this. In my own self, in my own flesh, Paul said, dwells no good thing. Isn't that right? That means that within me as an individual, no matter how intelligent you may be, no matter how much you may love God, no matter how faithful you are to do good things, there is nothing in myself that can produce this fruit. Nothing that can produce the fruit of character transformation. It must flow from the Master. It must flow from me being vitally connected on a day-by-day basis with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? This character transformation, here's what it looks like. Verse 22, 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit, the work which His presence within us accomplishes, the work which His Spirit within us accomplishes is love. 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 Do we love the brethren? Can we love the brethren? Well, I can if they do everything just right. I can if they'd straighten up and get their act together. I can if they thought just like I thought and, you know, believed just like I believed, I could love them. Come on. See, that's natural love. See, it's a transformation. Joy. Oh, hallelujah. I like this fruit already. Love, joy. You know, a lot of us have been on a fast, and it's, you know, we've been fasting sweets and meats, and we've been eating fruit. A lot of fruit. Boy, this is the good kind of fruit. Amen? I want people, when they get around me, to eat this fruit, not the fruit of bitterness. Amen? I don't want to grow lemons. I want to grow love. I want to grow joy. Amen? Gladness, peace, patience, an even temper. Oh, hallelujah. Forbearance, kindness, kindness. How many of you like to receive kindness? Boy, I do. Isn't it good? So, kindness. Think about if all this fruit was growing in all of us. Ooh. In a greater measure. I'm sure it's growing. Some of this fruit's probably growing in all of us. But probably we could all grow more of it. An even temper, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, meekness, humility, self-control, self-restraint. Against such things, there is no law that can bring a charge. If these fruit of character transformation begin to be produced in our life, and how are they produced? Oh, I'm striving. I'm working hard at it. No. I said this many times before in times past. You ever walk by, a grapevine or an apple tree or an orange tree, and you heard it grunting? What are you doing? I'm growing oranges. No. The life that is in it, if it's allowed to flow unhindered, it will automatically produce the fruit. Isn't that right? So he said, all you have to do is stay in union, vital union, dwell, abide with Christ by the Holy Spirit. And he said, this fruit is going to come forth in you. Just like God set the sun in the heavens and the planets and established their orbit and their sphere, he has also ordained that all those united with his Son, Jesus Christ, that abide there, this fruit will grow in you. Oh, hallelujah. I'm so glad. And so as we stay connected in 2012, we should look for and expect this fruit, what? To just come forth. Oh, I'm trying to love. Stop trying to love. Just stay connected with Him. Stay in love with Him. Stay in fellowship with Him. Walk with Him. Talk with Him. Let Him speak to you. Fall in love with Jesus. Live and abide with Him. And it'll just come out. Hallelujah. And you know, things are attracted to fruit. Isn't that right? Things are attracted to fruit. And the world out there and people out there that are hurting and broken, they're going to be attracted to the fruit of joy. They're going to be attracted to the fruit of peace. They're going to be attracted to the fruit of love and kindness and gentleness. And you know what? They're going to want to come and pick some fruit. They might not even know why. They're just going to like, oh, I like being around them. I don't know. Something about you, when I'm around you, I just feel so peaceful. Something about you, when I'm around you, I just hope just seems to rise up. You're so kind. I see the way you treat people. I just like, see, that's the attracting power of this dwelling. So that's the first fruit, is this character fruit. The second fruit is what Jesus called prayer fruit, a vital and effective prayer life. In John 15:7, he said this. I'm just going to give you the Reader's Digest version this morning, okay? If you live in me and abide vitally united to me, and my words remain in you and continue to live in your hearts, ask whatever you will and it shall be done for you. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus said, if you will live, dwell, and abide in me, then he said, if my words abide in you, he said, then you've got a blank check. You've got carte blanche. What do you need? Write it out in prayer. And, you know, the amazing thing is not only as it pertains to the needs and the things in our life, but think about, he said, whatever you ask for will be done. Think about what you can do for others. My God, it'll get around the office. I'm going to tell you what, you get over there, so-and-so, and I'm going to tell you what, man, when they pray, hello, they'd be queuing up at your little cubicle. Okay, can I see you at lunchtime? Just give me five. You know, you might end up, you know, having to go into ministry all the time and won't have time to work. Come on. Oh, Pastor, do you think so? Yeah. You remember what he said? You know, he said, if that fruit, so the second fruit is what? Prayer fruit. I want people to know, listen, if you come to me and you want me to pray, then listen, I can get in touch with the living God on your behalf. And His grace and His power will flow into your life to make a difference, to answer that need, and to lift you up. Amen? So it's
First, it's the fruit of character transformation, the fruit of the Spirit, as we call it. It will begin to grow in us. We will begin to look like Jesus. We'll begin to act like Jesus, not because we're all trying to be conformed by some outward religious, pressure, but because what? There's life in me. There's love out there because there's love in here. There's peace out there because there's peace in here. And I can pray and be in touch with Him. Why? Because I'm dwelling with Him. You ever seen somebody, you ask some people to pray, and they immediately, you can tell by the way they pray, they think they're down here and God's way off up there, however how far it is. And it's like one of those, shuttle rockets, those boosters, they think they got to get enough behind it to get it up there. But listen, if you're dwelling with Him, if you're conscious of His indwelling presence, if you know that He's not only up there seated in heaven somewhere, but He is seated in me, in my spirit, dwelling, living in me, greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. Your prayer doesn't have to get any higher than your nose. He's in you. He's in you. See, that's vital union. Then when I go to pray, man, boom. Hallelujah. I don't even have to get on the cell phone. I don't even have to text. Hallelujah. He's right there. I have His ear. I have His heart. I have His love, His joy, His peace. All those things working in me. And I can pray. The third fruit, I'm told you, I'm giving you the condensed version this morning, is what I call harvest fruit. John 15, verse 16. Jesus said, "You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you. And I have appointed you. I have planted you that you might go and bear fruit and keep on bearing, and that your fruit may be lasting, that it may remain and abide. So that whatever you ask the Father in my name, as presenting all that I am, He may give it to you." So I call this third kind of fruit is harvesting fruit. In other words, my life is going to impact other lives. They're going to be brought into the kingdom because of what? I am vitally joined together with Christ. His Spirit is flowing through me. Others can drink out of the well that's in me. Others can wash of the river that's flowing out of me. I can go to to God in prayer on their behalf. And I can see their lives impacted and see their lives changed. All of these things come about because what? We are vitally joined to Christ. Now that's where I really want to talk about and emphasize this morning is how do we abide? Now the fruit are to whet your appetite. The fruit that can grow there in your life is the bait. Okay? We put that out there. That's the motivation. I want the fruit. I want to be, of course, I want the fellowship with Him, but I also want the fruit that was in Jesus to be flowing and growing in my life. Amen? So real quickly, how do we abide? He said, if you abide in me, so all I got to know is how to abide, and boy, then we've got it made. Isn't that right? Well, let me suggest some things to you this morning about how to abide. The first thing, of course, even though it may be obvious, is to be sure you are in Christ or you are attached to the vine. You got to make sure you're attached to the vine because that's the whole point, isn't it? He said, every branch that's in me brings forth fruit. So the only way you can bring forth this fruit is what is to be attached or in Christ. How do we get to be in Christ? We know this, what? He said that through the born-again salvation experience whereby a person opens their heart to Jesus, they turn from their sin, repent of their sin, and they ask Jesus to come into their heart and forgive them and save them, that person is born again. They make Jesus Lord of their life. Or as Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, what? He is a brand new creation. Brand new creation. So being in Christ means what? I'm a brand new creation. My sins are forgiven. I've asked Jesus. And He said, whoever calls on the name of the Lord, what? You shall be saved. So if you invite Him in, He's coming in. Amen? Yeah. So that's how we get in Christ. So we've got to make sure, first of all, even though this may seem obvious, most of us probably here this morning are Christians, but we need to make sure that we are in Christ. Because everything else I share with you will be to no avail. Amen? All right. The second thing is found in Colossians 3. Turn over to Colossians 3.
Colossians 3. We're talking about how do we abide. We make sure we're in Christ. That's the first thing. And then the second thing is found here. And that is, we must allow His Word to abide in us. Colossians 3:16, let the Word spoken by Christ the Messiah have its home in your hearts and minds, and dwell in you in all its richness. As you teach and admonish and train one another in all insight and intelligence and wisdom and spiritual things, and even as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and make melody to your heart with God, His grace dwelling in your hearts. So the second thing is what? His Word must dwell or abide in me, what? Richly. That's the key word there is what? Richly. See, a lot of people, they have a thimble full of the Word, so to speak, or an eyedropper full of the Word, so to speak, in them. But He said that's not going to create this fruit we're talking about. It is what? It must dwell in me, what? Richly. Richly. In other words, I've got to feed on the Word. I've got to let that Word in me. I've got to meditate on the Word. I've got to let that Word speak to me. I've got to speak it out my mouth. I've got to study that Word. I've got to put myself under a place where I can hear the Word. And all these different facets God's provided for us. And I want to tell you, here in America, we have no excuse for not having that Word abiding richly in us. Isn't that true? Man, we've got podcasts, we've got, you know, we've got we got videos, we've got CDs, we've got, you know, MP3s, we've got everything in the world, books. I mean, there's no reason that the Word should not be dwelling richly in us. Amen? You say, well, you know, I've got stuff to do around the house. Well, put the Word on while you're doing it. Hallelujah. Let it play. Let it come forth. Fill yourself with the Word of God. And I'm going to tell you what. See, that peace, that fruit of peace begins to come there. Because I'm going to tell you what. If we don't fill our minds and hearts with God's Word, it's going to be filled with something else. Creation does not invite a void. Are you listening to me? Something is going to come in and fill the void. It's going to try to come in and fill the void there. And in our hearts and in our minds, God wants His Word to dwell richly within us so that what? Then fear. See, some reason some people have a hard time with fear is they're just trying to have the absence of something. I just want to get, tell me how to get rid of fear. Well, I'm going to tell you, here's how you do it. Fill yourself with God's Word. It'll push out the fear. But if you just think you're going to somehow, by your own efforts, get rid of fear and worry, it's never going to work for you. You've got to fill it up. And see, the Word of God has power in it. As you fill your heart and mind with it, it pushes out the other stuff. It'll push out fear. It'll push out worry. It'll push out doubt and unbelief. It'll push that junk out. So we said, be sure you're in Christ. Secondly, make sure His Word is abiding in you richly. Richly. Thirdly, develop a strong and intimate relationship, fellowship with the Holy Spirit. With the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us to be filled with the Spirit. Amen? See, when we're born again, the Spirit of God comes to live in us. In a measure, the Spirit of God's in us. He bears witness that we're children of God. But the Bible talks about something called the baptism or the infilling or the fullness of the Holy Spirit that's available to everyone who is in Christ. And He says when you receive the Holy Spirit in that way, then all of a sudden a whole panorama of fellowship with God is opened up to us. All of a sudden, we begin to have greater awareness and consciousness of God who's dwelling in us. All of a sudden, our ears are more attuned to the Spirit of God, and we can fellowship with Him in a greater depth, in a higher dimension than ever before. Jesus put it this way. He says, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and infills you in this way, you receive power. 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 Dunamis. And see, what do we want to do is cultivate that. Cultivate a friendship with the Holy Spirit.
You say, that's great, Pastor. How do we do that? I'm glad you asked. You knew I was going to tell you anyway, didn't you? Turn to John 16. How many give you, give me about 10 more minutes? And I'm going to wrap this up, okay? I'll give you the condensed version. Maybe later in the year I'll be able to give you the full thing. 16:7. However, I am telling you nothing but the truth when I say it is profitable, good, expedient, and advantageous for you that I go away. Because if I do not go away, now here's the Holy Spirit, how He's going to come to us. The Comforter, the Counselor, the Helper, the Advocate, the Intercessor, the Strengthener, and the Standby will not come to you into close fellowship with you. But if I go away, I will send Him to you to be in what? Close fellowship with you. So we can know God through the Holy Spirit. We can have an intimate, ongoing relationship with Him. He can speak to us concerning God's will and plan for our lives. He can point out to us people who need this fruit that's growing through in our lives through our connection to Christ as the vine. The Holy Spirit is the key to vital, real Christianity. Anything else will be reduced to religiosity, to legalism, and to a form. And that's not what I want. How about you? If I want that, I'll go join a club somewhere. Isn't that right? I'll just join a club. But see, it's about union with Christ by fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. Now, one of the ways that we can develop that is this. Number one, through prayer. Through prayer. And I'm talking here primarily your own individual prayer life. You know that Jesus was the Son of God? How many of you knew that? You knew that He came upon, took Himself flesh. As a man, He took upon Himself flesh. But He was still what? The Son of God, wasn't He? He was all, this is one of the mysteries of the gospel. The incarnation. He was all God, yet He was all man. Somebody said, how did He do that? I don't know. But Jesus, in His manward side, you can read about it over and over. I'll just give you one reference. You don't have to turn there. Just jot this down. Luke 6:12. In many places, it says that Jesus would get up a great while before day, and He would go into a place before prayer. And at other times, it says He would go out at the end of the day, and He would sometimes spend all night in prayer. Well, He wasn't just out there shouting out to God. See, we've reduced prayer to petition. See, every time we think prayer, we think asking God for something. Gimme, gimme, gimme. My name's Jimmy. I'll take all you gimme. That's only a small part of prayer. The big part of prayer, see, is what? Is this fellowshipping with the Father. When I go and I open my heart to Him and I listen to the heart that He has, when I just spend time in His presence and I feel and sense Him just sweeping over me and renewing me and taking out all the cares and concerns and troubles and His strength coming into me. Notice He said He'll be a strengthener. He says He'll be a counselor. In those times of prayer, I get wise counsel. I get direction from the Holy Spirit. So, see, we need those individual times where we're just fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. We're just waiting in His presence. We're just talking to Him and learning to listen to that inward voice of the Holy Spirit in us. Amen? See, that's called prayer. That's prayer. Prayer is two-way. Prayer is not a monologue. Amen? That's one of those comedians that do the monologue. God, you know, we don't do monologues in prayer. Well, we do dialogue, don't we? Thank God, God still speaks. So through prayer, the second thing is this, is through worship. Worship. Now, we have corporate worship on Sunday, but here's the thing. You need to learn how to worship in your prayer closet, so to speak, wherever it is. It might be your car, it might be your living room, but it's your prayer closet. Wherever that place is where you get alone with God. You know, and here's the thing. If you have to, find you a wonderful CD that's anointed to begin with if you need to, and put it on and just worship with that thing. Do you know that when something's anointed, that it can go right on to a CD or a video? How many of you ever heard of Catherine Kuhlman? She had a great healing ministry back in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. I mean, just
You know, just tremendous. Blind eyes open, cripples getting up out of wheelchairs, paralyzed people getting up. If you know her about her, I'm just supernaturally. I mean, just tremendous. You know that she recorded a lot of those in a church out in Los Angeles called Melody Land years ago. And you know what? If they replay those same services, you know what? People get the same healing. Now, that sounds like, ooh, I don't know about it. How does he do that? Well, the same way that it said about Paul, said he laid his hands on handkerchiefs and aprons, and they took those handkerchiefs and aprons, and the same anointing that was present there with Paul by the Holy Spirit, they took a mobile anointing, a portable anointing. It's just another way to say it. See, we get all religious. Oh, you know. Well, isn't that right? I mean, Paul's here. Grandma's in the next town over. He ain't there. She can't get hands laid on her, but he laid hands on this handkerchief. And now I've got a portable anointing. I just take it over there and give it to Grandma. Grandma gets healed. Well, if he can anoint a handkerchief, he can anoint film. If you want to know how, you better go talk to him. I just know he works. Amen. I don't understand everything about the hydroelectric dam and the turbines and everything, but praise God, I can turn on the radio and flip on the light switch. Second thing that flows with this is quiet time and meditation. Listen, we live in a generation where more than ever before we're bombarded by externals. Isn't that true? Externals. I mean, you know, somebody was telling me, did I get this right, honey? Whoever's telling me this, correct me if not, there's like 2,000 channels available through satellite and cable and all that. Is that right? Am I way out somewhere? Is that about right? Could you imagine just surfing through that one time? Did you watch anything? No. How long you had it? A week? What you been doing? I surfed through it. Golly, man. So there's so much information through the internet and all. And there's a lot of benefits. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not want to paint it too big, say it's all bad. But I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of stimuli. Everything bombards us from the outside, doesn't it? Not to mention just the trials, the cares of life, and all that stuff. Just all kind of information. Listen, you will not hear God in the externals. Are you listening? Until you've learned to hear God in the internals. You will not be able to see God's hand in the externals until you can see God's hands in the internals. By that I mean, what, we get quiet. We meditate on the Word. We spend time in the Word. We purposely listen to hear what the Holy Spirit would say. Because Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit's come, He will what? Say something. Pardon me. So He's going to teach us. So we've got to get quiet. There've got to be quiet times. So here's the thing. How many of you realize that all I've said here, there's not anyone in this room that can't do it, but how many of you know, it's like a lot of things, it's easier said than done, isn't it? Just because so many things pull at us, so many things tug at us, so many things demand our attention, we all are worrying about, you know, if we could probably, so to speak, see in the spiritual, we got so many hats on, we probably almost couldn't get in the door. We've got so many demands on us. And many times, you know, the thing that squeaks the loudest gets the oil, as they say, but it's not necessarily the thing that needs it. Some things just need to squeak. Some things just need to squeak. Just let them squeak. It's really not a big deal about it. But I want to tell you what. I'm going to come aside, get quiet, and spend time with Him. 2012, abide. Jesus said, if you abide in me, dwell in me, live in me, vitally connected with me. He said, you're going to bring forth fruit. The fruit of character, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, faithfulness, goodness. The fruit of prayer, a rich, vibrant prayer life that brings answers not only to you but for others. Amen? The fruit of that. It's all about that. And then harvest fruit. Our lives are going to touch and impact other people. It's just going to be a natural progression. Isn't that right? Because of who He was, Jesus could not help but do what He did.
Because of who he was, Jesus could not help but do what he did. See, theology was, well, why do you think Jesus healed? Why do you think he did that? Because just look at who he is. He's love. He's compassion. He's mercy. He wants peace. He's salvation. He brought forgiveness. He lifted the burden. Why? Because of who he was. Because of who you are, you do the things you do. That may be an amen or an oh me. But it's a fact, isn't it? But see, the more we dwell in him in 2012, the more that comes forth from us naturally will look just like him. And we will touch people, and it won't be us touching people, even though that's the perception. It will really be him. It will really be him. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, I'm going to stop there. I give you the real condensed version. But that's enough. Listen, take it and heat it and put it to work in your life. If you're already doing it, great. But see, this is a brand new year. We're in a time of fasting and prayer, many of us. But, you know, take heed to this. What is the most important thing for you in 2012? What will bring greater peace, joy, blessing, and success, so to speak, in your life than any other one single thing? I think it's probably what I just shared about in brief. Abiding in Him. Abiding in Him. I'd rather hear what the Holy Spirit has to say than the wisest person on earth. How about you? Hallelujah. He is the one. Would you bow your heads just a minute? How good you are to us, Lord. How good you are to our families, to this church. We love you so much. Lord, we just bless you. We just bless you.